Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
You're not the boss of me.
You're not the boss of me. I don't want to go outside today. And I don't want to go into a store with a mask on. You can't tell me what to do. I'll go anywhere I please. Oh, bye.
This heat has me truly in.
I know.
In a place of I can't breathe with a mask on hysteria.
I'm Carrie, by the way.
I'm Laura. And you're listening to Sexy,
Unique podcast. Tough Sicilian bitches. The reunion. The heat wave in LA is, first of all, there's like four fires going on. The air quality is unbelievably bad.
You can see
vapors. You can see smoke from where I live in Hollywood. Over the hills into the valley, you see smoke trailing out to the ocean.
Yeah, it's just smoke. And then
there's a pandemic still.
There's a pandemic. The humidity index is at like 50% any given day,
which is
a lot for LA, which is normally like an arid. You at least get like a dry heat or a breeze of some sort. Like a desert heat is cooler than a hot, humid armpit heat. And right now we're in like an armpit zone of hot. That truly, I thought I was gonna die walking to Starbucks the other day because my mask was making my face so sweaty and I literally was about to like pass out. Like, I was also hungover, which was not helpful for the situation, but it was true. It was the closest I've ever been to like hell, like the personification of Hades just like a hot place of like nunca.
You were like a minute away from being like a mask truther.
No, I've gone full mask truther now, like on walks. My whole thing, like now if I take Tony on a walk, I will just cross the street if anyone comes near. I carry a mask in my hand to show solidarity.
Like a little corsage.
Yeah, I carry it and dangle it and show people that I do care about. I care about masks and I believe in them, but I cannot put one on my face right now and also be outside in the sunshine. Therefore, I won't go on any like walks to big public spaces, but I will like walk around the block with no mask.
That's my favorite, seeing people dangle it from their wrists like a little wristlet, like a Vera Bradley wristlet or something.
I do like either a dangle, like I'll hold it so you know that I'm, I know, and or it, I'll let it show out of my pocket. Or if it's medium hot, I'll put it under my chin just so that you know I could pull it up. But like recently I've just been like, it's so hot. I'm so, and yeah, the heat makes me so angry. Like it ignites a rage within. And yeah, I might, I'm like, I'm so angry that I just become anti-mask.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just can't fucking do it. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of this fucking pandemic.
Laura, but I've, you wear a mask enough when you go inside.
Well, duh. I'm not a total psycho.
Yeah.
But now I'm just not going to go inside anywhere. I'm just not going to leave anymore.
We were visiting my boyfriend's twin last night and his family. And we were walking back. They live out in like on the east side, like way out there. And mm-hmm. so it's. And we were walking to my car and no one was around us. And I just opened, I breathed in and it smelled really good.
Yeah, it's okay to not wear a mask if you're literally not, if no one is around and you're outdoors, you're fine. But like, it's fine.
But yeah, but the heat is insane. This is actually like a, I've been seeing people, I think there's like cooling stations in LA right now. Mm-hmm. For homeless population, and I feel like I've been reading that I think the LAPD is like shutting them down or something. But I've been, it's good to leave. I'm not even gonna say it. Just cut this out.
Yeah.
But yeah, the heat. I also, every time I wear my mask, I am like, oh, I have halitosis.
Yeah.
I'm immediately like, my breath, and I have good breath. Like I like brush my teeth a lot and like, I'm very conscious of that. But the minute I put my mask on, I'm like,
yeah, I'm like, wow, my mouth is a literal dumpster.
Yeah.
Nice to be reminded how disgusting I am. Let's go for a walk and just sweat.
Yeah, it's also just like
covered
that, like, wet, your cheeks are just wet with sweat, like
my everything mustache is just, I get like a full mustache of wetness, and I'm just like, I was in Starbucks truly on Saturday. I had to like lean over and just like sit like on my lip, like I was like, who am I right now? And I was pouring sweat. You can't touch your face, you can't wipe it off. So I was like waiting for my iced coffee, just like pouring sweat, literally just my hair is like wet around my face. I'm like Jordan Peele in that Key and Peele skit where he's just like pouring water, like sweat down his face, and they're like, here's your cold. They're like, Lara. And I go up and I was like, thank you. And I must have just been like, I think the woman was like, oh my God. Like,
she's going through something.
Yeah, I was really going through like a transformation.
What is that called? Transmorphic. What's that called? Did they talk about Christ? Hold on.
It was not, like, I was not okay.
Transmorphification. Where you're just turning into a different form. That's me anytime I walk outside.
Yeah, it's literal Alex Mack zone.
I walk
routinely. I have a beard of sweat.
Me too. Routinely, I'll walk to the CVS on Hollywood Boulevard because it's nearby to pick up some stuff. And let me just tell you, the Walk of Fame is like thriving in COVID. And I'm always sweating my fucking face off, but I refuse to take my mask off.
Well, yeah, that would be an unsafe place to take your mask off outside.
No one wears a mask.
That's like a touristy, like international COVID hotspot. So there are tourists definitely mask still, up on the walk.
There are tourists still like LLLing on the Walk of Fame. I walked by a family the other day that like, it was a man, his wife, and their teen daughter, just mask off. They were American, but I could tell that they, like, weren't, you know, you can just, like, the way they were, like, looking around. And I walked by them and I was like, put a mask on. And the guy went, what? I had to walk around them because they were just in the middle of the sidewalk. And I was like, please wear a mask. And he was like,
only have to wear them in places of business.
And I was like, all right.
I mean, if you see a person with a mask off, I don't think it's going to make them put a mask on to, like, tell them sternly to put a mask on. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the decision's already been made.
No, I know, but I felt I had to.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm constantly worried that someone's going to yell at me to put a mask on when I'm, like, walking the dog, which is why I just try and stay as far away from people as possible and, like, not make eye contact if I'm not wearing a mask, which really has only been in the past 48 hours because it's just so fucking hot.
It's fucking hot. But no, and some people who aren't wearing masks are, like, looking to be challenged, so, like, it's just best to not. There have been times where, like, I just can't take it and I say something, especially if they're, like, coming into my space.
The Hollywood Walk of Fame, I can't imagine being, like, enthralled by that area.
Oh, it's wild. My CVS is in front of a Mary Steenburgen star, which makes me happy, but...
That's great.
I was at Starbucks the other day, and I walked in, and you have to wear a mask in there, especially the people that work there. Like, don't put them at risk. And this guy... was with his sig other seemingly, and he turned and he just took his mask off in the middle of the store and was just like walking, and I like looked at him kind of, and he was like looking at me, and I think he was waiting for me to say something, and I was just like, all right, I'm not, that's just someone that wants to fight.
Yeah,
just be careful, but just know your boundaries. And anyway, am I sounding like puritanical?
My approach is like, I take like a mind my own business approach, and like, I'm just not gonna interact. I'm like, if you're out on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, mask free, like living your best life, we have nothing in common, and like, you have nothing
to
learn. You have nothing to learn from me, and I have nothing to learn from you. So, like, I'm just going to get as far away from you as possible and, like, live the rest of my life, like, not interact. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just, like, no good can come of an interaction like this.
I drove by a Hollywood, you know what I love seeing in, like, a weird way is the Hollywood open bus tours, the open truck tours, still thriving.
Mm-hmm.
Packed to the brim. People packed in like sardines. Just flying through Hollywood.
Yeah, I don't see. I just, the allure escapes me.
I would go on like one of those double decker bus tours, like for fun one day, but not during this time. And not in a heat wave.
Wouldn't. Yeah, certainly not in a heat wave. Seems like a little bit too much UV exposure, period, on any day of the week. And just not a way I choose to get my thrills, to be quite honest with you.
To be quite honest with you.
I have to be quite honest with you.
I've got to be quite honest with you.
I would wear a mask. Does Danielle Staub wear a mask? What's her stance?
I bet she does. I think she does. Oh my God, someone sent me a photo of a screenshot of her podcast, and it... absolutely Danielle, and she spelled it absolutely Danielle. She put that, she like spelled it wrong, and it's like her official look.
I love her so much. I love absolutely. That absolutely Danielle, absolutely Danielle,
absolutely Danielle. I think she wears a
that's
mask.
What Johnny Depp calls it.
Oh, that's what I have to say to you.
I love this absolutely. Podcast. Absolutely, Danielle. Have you heard it?
Good sir, what say you? Why do you call me that? Why do you haunt me? He says to like a ghost. Why do you haunt me?
Who are you? He says to like a pen that he's holding.
You write with How do you ride without me guiding you?
You ride what you with, want to ride.
He rides with a quill.
Yeah. He writes with blood, as we all know.
Literally.
Literally.
He communicates through crop circles.
I keep getting emails for Lisa Vanderpump's fucking Vanderpump Dogs Foundation begging me to like donate to it, and I'm just like, why? Like, why?
Oh, I got that too, and I unsubscribed.
I've gotten so many Vanderpump Dogs emails. It's like, it's unbelievable.
She's gearing up for that to be the next show.
Yeah.
Side note, I deleted my Facebook.
Oh, I love that for you.
I finally did it. I didn't even deactivate it. I fully deleted the account, which I know everything's still out there, but it felt good.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. I was like, it really needed to be done. And honestly, like, I could have kept it, but I saw like one too many people from my hometown trying to downplay COVID and like talk about how it's like not a big deal. And I did like a fiery post where I like, it was like my goodbye post.
Oh my God.
And I was like, for my mental sanity.
Facebook honestly brings so much like drama into the mix. It's
so dramatic.
It's unreal. Yeah.
I posted like, I've seen one too many people from who I grew up with, like, and I went on this whole spiel and I said that they had brain worms and like all this shit, and then I deleted it. Someone wrote like, so sorry, Carrie. I was like, oh, okay, now I'm like a fucking psycho on Facebook. Like, my old roommate from college commented and was like, so sorry to hear that you're feeling this way, Carrie. Hope you're well, man. And I was just like, oh my God.
Every single thing that you could possibly do on Facebook, I think, is a cry for help. Even if you're coming from a place where you don't think it's a cry for help, it still is.
It's a cry. I realized what I posted was a place of nunca, even though it felt really good.
No, it does a complete place of nunca.
And then I deleted.
There's
which I feel like it's an opposite of place of nunca.
Yeah, no, it's taking back. You took back the nunca, but it's. It doesn't change the fact that it was Nunca to begin with, you know?
Yeah.
We just all have to make peace with that.
Are you embarrassed for me that I did that post?
I have some secondhand embarrassment. I'm glad I didn't see it.
You know what? I stand by my cringe, and I fully, like, own it. I own my cringe. I own my embarrassment. It felt really good in the moment to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was specifically speaking to a neighbor of mine. I didn't address her, but it was in reference to her.
It was meant for her. I hope that she posted.
I did. I do too. She posted something that was like, here's how the media should be spinning that. Like, you have a 97% chance of living, like all this stuff. And like totally discounting that, like, a 3% mortality rate still means like millions could die, and just downplaying it. And so I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to delete the whole thing.
I'm going there. I love a really going there before a deletion.
A fiery Facebook post. People were probably like, whoa, what's going on?
Yeah, you literally got to like a place of 5150 with someone that had to.
No!
Hey, Carrie, hope you're okay. Like, I'm really sorry you're feeling so frustrated.
No, and then my aunt said she's planning to delete her Facebook, too.
Oh, I love that.
So I found some solidarity. People being like, people were liking it. People were loving it. I don't feel completely, but it was, you know what? But you know why it felt good, Laura? You know why I stand by my insane, earnest, Facebook post was because I wasn't doing it for, like, on Twitter when I tweet things, I'm doing it for attention.
Mm-hmm.
On Instagram when I post stuff, I'm doing it for attention and I want to be validated. This, I just wanted, I did it for myself.
Yeah.
And in a weird way, my run with Facebook, which was a 14-year run, ended with me posting for myself. Like, it's kind of like a weird full circle moment where I'm like, whoa, I wrote like a really humiliating, like, manifesto on Facebook. But I did it for myself.
You needed it. You needed to do it.
I needed to do it, and then I deleted, and I went.
You needed that.
And then I was like, I'm going to be deactivating soon.
Oh.
And then... And then I realized, like, why am I, like,
I love
like hinting at my...
You'll never know. But you'll one day you'll look know. And I'll be gone. Gone, gone, gone.
One day you'll look and I'll be gone. And then I saw...
Oh, my God.
And then I decided it's time for deletion when my old roommate, like, in a kind of probably, like, earnest, like
ooh.
Care?
Ooh. When I see someone taking to Facebook... My first reaction is like, ooh, I'm sorry. You okay? I go to a place of, you okay, Claude?
You okay, Kara? That was a you okay, Claude. I was but I'm owning it. And I think the fact that I'm owning it maybe points to me being not as like 5150 as we would imagine.
Yeah, you know.
It was a total, I knew writing it, like, this is unhinged, but I didn't.
I love that. I love it.
Wasn't that unhinged. It was like, I was just saying, like, but I was saying what people already know. So it's like, I wasn't like enlightening anyone. It was just me like reiterating, like,
rant. Yeah,
this is deadly. I needed to rant because
and then
some
get the
fucking
fuck out of there.
Get the fuck out. I should have deleted it when I saw another person I grew up with talking about the plandemic and how her eyes are finally open.
I honestly, I can't. I will be deactivating soon.
I will be deactivating. And that is why I will be deactivating soon.
I'm glad I didn't see it. I love that moment for you. I'm glad I wasn't part of it.
I'm not part of it anymore because I'm gone, baby.
Because I did delete my account. I did deactivate.
I will be deactivating.
And I will be. And rest assured that I will be deactivating soon.
Rest.
Johnny, you'll never know.
Do you think
when.
Johnny? He probably makes Facebook. One day you see me here, and next one day you don't.
He probably has Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's friends with like.
I'll bet Elon Musk has Facebook. They're all like of an age. I feel like if you're 40 and over, you're obsessed with Facebook. It's like the first. TBD. I think like Gen Z doesn't speak Facebook. I don't think Grimes is necessarily Gen Z, but I feel like she's kind of on the cusp, right?
She's older than me, I think. I think she's like 33 or like my age.
I think of her as being like 18 and a half.
Well, she's like the age of fairy.
She's fairy age.
She's cape our age.
Fairy.
Timekeeper.
Timekeeper. Facebook actually makes a prominent appearance in this week's episode of Rone J. We come to find out that it plays whenever there's horrific drama, you can rest assured that Facebook has something to do with it.
It's true. I mean, it brings out the
worst of the problem.
People.
It truly brings out the absolute worst side of people. I have never seen someone on Facebook and thought, wow, what an amazing presence they have on this website. Never once. Not one time ever.
My presence for the last year was so bad. It was like, because I barely post. Like, every time I posted, I was just complaining about something. I was just like, oh. Like, I was truly used Facebook as, like, a private, like, private hell. But making it public.
My own private hell made public.
Subjecting people who have nothing to do with my life. No, Facebook, this is the first part of the season 3 reunion. They're filming it in Red Bank, New Jersey.
In the Count Basie Theater.
Where Bruce Springsteen lives. Or he lives like in Rumson.
To the Count Basie Theater?
I've been to Red Bank. I had a night at Red Bank.
Really confused as to why they staged the reunion like with their backs to the seats.
Yeah, that was really weird.
That seemed weird to me.
Filming equipment.
But like they could have used like a curtain backdrop. But I guess they wanted to show you like the Count Basie theater and they were excited about that. So then after a while I understood it, but at first I was really thrown by that staging decision.
It was jarring.
It was jarring.
Red Bank is really beautiful.
It seemed cool.
Yeah. It's like near Asbury Park.
Based on just the theater.
Yeah, the theater. Also, what's weird about this is that they're filming this reunion during filming of season
four.
So the fight that we get, I think, in season four, that is the fight that ends Teresa and Jacqueline and Caroline's friendship for good, is the fight that happened the night before. It's really like the time is, they come into this because Jacqueline is not present during this season reunion.
Yeah, which was really strange. Like Jacqueline just dipped out, and then you find out that it's because they're filming season four and they had a crazy blowout fight that traumatized Jacqueline to the point that she couldn't even bear the thought of showing up. So she just doesn't show up to the reunion.
And I think this season four is her last full season.
What happened? What's the fight? Because it's annoying. Because in this reunion, they can't even talk about what the fight is. So it's like, what?
So it's they filmed a lot because they filmed this, I think, at the end of the summer, this reunion. It's crazy how they do this, how they do all the overlap. But
Also, it's like the drama is so good with Teresa that it's like. They're probably like, just keep the cameras rolling and we'll just go into next season. Like, we got to just like keep up with this because she's now just a pure villain. Like, it's, I watch this and I'm like, I hate this person.
I do
and,
too.
Like, feel gleeful knowing that like she's about to go to jail.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think specifically with NJ, they like just kept the cameras going because her legal woes were just something new happened.
Yeah.
Basically the whole season of season four, they're like, it's super tense between Caroline and Teresa because of what she said in the book. So like, they're kind of at odds the whole season and barely filming together. Caroline barely like addresses her, and then, but Jacqueline's still trying to like mend everything. And then they go together to, Caroline's gay Jamie's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of Chicago, and like the Judices, the Loritas, and the Manzos all go, and then all this tabloid shit keeps coming out about Teresa and Jacqueline's like, we're supposed to be best friends, but all this stuff I learned through like Us Weekly, and are you selling all these stories? And Teresa refuses to acknowledge that she's selling the stories or like making money off it.
Yeah, she won't. She's literally like desperate for cash, right?
Yeah, but she won't admit. The whole season, she's like, I don't know. I don't, these stories, they just come to me. And then Jacqueline's like, but you get money from it. And she's like, no, I don't get any money from it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, that's not, Caroline's like, no, that's not true. And then at the very end, there's a big blowout between Teresa and Jacqueline and Caroline. And they have a huge fight. And that's how it ends. It ends with like Jacqueline like sobbing uncontrollably. Yeah.
It's like about the just stories.
Just about like Jacqueline being like, it's everything. And Jacqueline sort of like, you
being
are
like, we were
basically
friends.
Liar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I stuck up for you and like, you're throwing me under the bus repeatedly and being a true psycho. Yeah. Okay. Fair.
And I think she says something in one of her stories about Jacqueline, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, she's. And in season four, there's this crazy part where the Gorgas, Judice, and Lachilles go on like a therapeutic family retreat together into the mountains at this like really creepy lodge.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe, Gorga, and Judice get into like a fist fight. And it's wild. Judice comes inside and he goes, yo, Joe! And then they just charge each other and you just see Judice's little body like fly into the air.
Oh my god.
And the women get in it. It's really bad.
Ugh. Yeah.
Anyway, so this reunion is Jacqueline's not present. Caroline is ready to go. Caroline has her mitts on.
Came to fucking fight. I mean, everyone is basically like, fuck Teresa. And the whole time, it just like, Teresa comes off looking terrible in this reunion. Oh. Everything she says is a lie. She's just so full of shit. She cannot, for one even second, apologize for anything she's ever done or said. She admits no wrong. Like, she just is truly, I'm like, it's shocking to me that she even managed to bounce back from just looking this bad. It's humiliating.
I think jail really humbled her.
As it but tends Caroline, to be for some people.
Caroline is like basically there just to like affirm reality for us. And whatever Teresa says, Caroline goes, that's not true.
Yeah.
So Caroline doesn't want to even be there herself. She told Andy she wanted to show up in pajamas, which I loved. But she's wearing this like kind of chic black number.
She looks hot.
Kathy is the coolest of all. She's cool as a cucumber.
She has a power blowout.
She's laughing at whatever. Like, she laughs full openly at what Teresa says, which is so funny. Mm-hmm. Melissa gets a little riled up.
Yeah, Melissa is, like, not here for it. But, I mean, basically, anytime you ask Teresa, anytime Andy asks Teresa something, she lies. And then one of the ladies has to be like, that's not true. You said this. Or that's not true. This happened. And yeah. Then Teresa just keeps lying. So it's like, I would get furious if I was like facing off with someone acting like that. Andy goes to Melissa. He goes, hi, Melissa. Feeling on display today? And she goes, I am actually. Honesty.
She is. No, he's like, Caroline, you famously told me you asked if you could show up in your pajamas. So I'm glad you're here. And Caroline goes, yeah. We're doing this. Like, Caroline is so checked out.
She's done. We didn't talk last episode about Teresa hanging that family photo with a meat tenderizer as a hammer. Instead of a hammer, she is hammering a nail into a wall with a literal meat tenderizer. Iconic.
Things are
but also
dark.
A cry for help. A screech.
Things are dark
for help.
At the Judice Manor.
Yeah, if you're using a meat tenderizer as a hammer, you, like, it's time to just take a step back and admit that, like, your life has become a little bit unmanageable, and it's okay. Yeah.
That's the first step.
Yeah, it's just, like, you've gotta just acknowledge, like, where you're at.
That's basically my Facebook post was me hammering with a meat cleaver.
It was a meat tenderizer moment.
Yeah.
An MTM.
A place of meat tenderizer.
Yeah, you meat.
A
tenderized.
Place of meat is it, a mace of a place of meat tenderizer is like adjacent to a place of nunca.
Yeah, but it's like a place of nunca is it's like far so far gone, like it's already just like done. But a place of meat tenderizer is just like the precursor to being like full blown nunca.
Flirting with chaos.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they like start getting right into it.
Mm-hmm. Teresa's talked a bunch of shit in her book, which has really like thrown everyone off. And Tree goes, my book is about fun, love, and family. And then Caroline is not here for it.
Well, I like whenever she like claims that something was written for fun, she goes, you know, comedy, ha ha.
It was a joke, ha ha.
She, again, Caroline and her go at, you know, tee off about her saying Caroline is not really Italian.
1/16th Italian.
I loved when Teresa said, I'm 100% Italian in Italian.
Mm-hmm.
The way she said it.
It was a power move.
Mm-hmm. She was like, ma piaccio l'italiano.
Che c'è tutto molto italiano.
Caroline goes,
what was that?
She's like, what was that? Caroline goes, to me, the Italian culture doesn't mean you have to speak it. Doesn't mean you have to be from there. I was like, okay.
Okay, it's classic not Italian person excuse.
I know. Oh, that's a real something
about
someone
1/16th Italian to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's 1/16th Italian to me.
And then Caroline's like, I'd rather be my kind of Italian than your kind of Italian.
Your kind of Italian. Molto bel piano italiano. I ragazzi.
Which is sono italiano.
Oh, sono italiano.
Sono 100% italiano.
Sono 100. But she says it like this. Sono 100% italiano.
Yeah.
Like she says it like
she said
kind
it
of
in
almost
a,
sexually.
It was a husky way. It was like yeah. a low. It was like a. It was a little grr in the voice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love how that is like. That's like a wound.
Oh yeah. You don't tell like an Italian person that they're not Italian enough.
Yeah.
Like I would even take offense to being told I'm not Italian and I'm not Italian at all. So I can't even imagine what an actual person with a single yeah. relative that is Italian, how they would feel.
I know.
Yeah.
If someone was like, you're not Irish enough. I'd be like, okay. Good. It's fine.
Someone's like, you're not German enough. I'd be like, touche. Danke.
I'm like fully Irish.
Yeah, your last name is O'Donnell. I'd say you're pretty Irish.
Ancestry.com taught me that I was like 93% Irish. And Ancestry.com is cool because it matches you with, it tells you how many genes you share, specific yeah. DNA strands, which is wild. Like I got some of my aunts, my first cousins, and it's wild how much you have in common with them.
Yeah. It's, I like it, but it's also kind of a racket because it's just like, it costs a lot of money. And then on my mom's side of the family, like I was tracing back to like beginning of America days, but my dad's side of the family are like all Germans from Russia. So like, to get back to them, you have to like upgrade to Ancestry International, which costs even more money. So it's like I could only get back to a little, like to a certain amount. And then it was like, you have to upgrade. And
yeah.
I was like, okay, what do I really need to know more about like what sad town they lived in Russia? Like, I'm already depressed. No offense to Russian readers. I know that we have some Russian fans out
really?
There. Yeah. Someone, I think, got mad that we said that we didn't trust a Russian vaccine. But I guess, I'm sorry, I don't.
I mean, I don't. I stand by that.
I don't. I wouldn't want it. But it doesn't mean that I have any, like, that I don't disrespect.
I just don't trust, if America today said we have the vaccine, I would be like, I don't trust that. I just would
like a trial.
No vaccine can go, like, it's too soon for vaccine. I'm fully in support of vaccines. I get vaccinated. I love it. It's a necessary thing. I mean, I don't love it, but it's necessary. I'm waiting for if Dr. Fauci says it's too soon, then it's too soon. Like, I don't know.
I just want some
everyone
trials.
Yeah. They were just like, oh, we have one.
Yeah.
And then no one's talking about it anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway,
just, like,
sorry.
Some trials.
Sorry. Sorry to this man.
Sorry to this man. Yeah, but my ancestry is all like England and Northwestern Europe and then like Germanic Europe.
I love it.
Yeah.
But not Teresa. She's 100%. I'm 100% Italian. All right.
I'm learning Italian on Duolingo. And one of the phrases that it teaches you was like, I want to speak to the manager. And I was like, oh, classic.
Very timely.
Sono Italiano 100%.
Sono Italiano 100%. Sono Italiano 100%. Arrivederci. She's like The Exorcist. Solamente arrivederci.
Sono Italiano al 100%.
Solo Italiano al 100%. Caroline's like, Jesus.
100%. Caroline was like,
Solo Italiano al 100%. Jesus.
Domine Pace.
Well, that's timely because at one point Teresa goes, I feel like I'm looking at The Exorcist over here. Good one. You're wearing red.
You're wearing red matches you. Right.
Hold up.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Tree apparently told Caroline not to compliment Melissa or tell her she's pretty at the beginning. Basically, everyone's like, yeah, Tree was so pissed about Joe and Melissa coming on the show. And Kathy. She didn't want any of them on the show. She was like threatened and angry and tried to poison everyone against them.
She literally told Caroline and Jacqueline to not compliment Melissa. Yeah. And Caroline goes, I regret how I behaved. She goes, I was horrible to these women. I was mean to them. I was rude. I was like, yeah. Well, what didn't we see?
Yeah. Trees also told
Melissa. That does explain, though, why Caroline. Remember we were like, why is Caroline pretending like she doesn't know Kathy?
Oh, yeah.
She was. I think Caroline is just super loyal. So, like, she just was like putting a wall up.
I'll snub her.
Sure, Tree.
Whatever you say, Tree.
Whatever you say.
She told Melissa on the phone that she shouldn't come on the Housewives of New Jersey because people will make fun of her huge forehead.
Yeah, that was wild.
Insane. Tree goes, Caroline, this is the facts. And then tries to say that she has the small forehead, and that's what she... I'm like, you are a fucking liar. Like, just own... If you're in that situation, I think you just have to be like, yeah, I said that. I was fucked up. I'm sorry.
She called Melissa and then yelled at her and then told her that, which is like just unhinged. And then Melissa's like, I got my hair pulled back as far as possible. She goes, I have no qualms about my forehead. And I was like, love that.
I love it. Also, it's like, lol, good luck. The only reason you would try and tell a beautiful woman like Melissa that like she's ugly and people are going to make fun of her for like her weird flaws is because you're so worried about people making fun of you for that.
Like, there's yeah, literally, she, like, you, that, saying Melissa's, like, that. Unattractive is, like, literally, no, she's false. Not. Yeah.
She's beautiful.
Categorically false.
And then she, what's really funny is that Teresa, tries to say that Kathy and Melissa never told her that they were filming on the show, and that, like, they just appeared one day, like, at the baptism. Teresa found, she claimed that she found out at the baptism that they were filming, which is just so not true. At the christening, yeah.
She said, both of you came on the show without telling me.
And they're like, that's not true. We talked about it.
I love her version of, like, reality.
Reality?
She's living in, like, a K-hole.
She, at all times.
At all times.
Her strife has just deluded her to the nth.
Yeah. We get a full-blown we get to relive the christening from hell.
Do, do, do. Sons of bitches.
Sons of bitches. And then also, it had a really good, like, slow motion or, like, close-up of Philomena's face. Probably after she decked Lisa.
Yeah, well, Andy asked Melissa if her sister was punched by Philomena.
And she was.
And then Teresa's like, yeah, my mother-in-law, she was just confused. Teresa starts, like, defending her mother-in-law.
Apparently someone yanked Philomena's hair to get her away from, like, assaulting someone else. And then she just, like, wound up and punched Lisa in the face because she was confused. That christening,
do you think Philomena punches Teresa?
I wouldn't be surprised if she's punched Teresa once or twice.
Yeah.
At least one time.
It's so normalized. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Very violent crew. They love a brawl. Tree is so delusional. She thinks that Joe Gorga, the reason he was so angry at the christening was because she tried to keep him off the show. And all of his sadness and anger was stemmed from his resentment that she wasn't going to let him be on Roan J.
Her narcissism is unbelievable, where she would take such negative, like, a negative, even if it makes her look negative, if she is the cause of it, then she's happy with it. Like, she all she wants is to just dominate Joe Gorga's whole
existence.
Being. It's so insane. And it's like, no, he got mad because you raised hell at his son's christening. And
yeah,
you turned her.
Acted like a psycho leading up to it. Told his wife that she had, like, a too big forehead and that everyone was going to make fun of her. Then act, like, totally fake on camera and then are just, like, an asshole. And your husband has caused, like, a deep rift between Gorga and his own father.
It was like a full circle that we realize now. It makes so much sense why it was such a such a tense moment, because all that shit was happening behind the scenes, and you kind of figured Teresa had been up to no good, but, like, to know that she literally, like, harassed them makes so much sense why he was so mad.
Harass them. Then when the cameras are rolling, act all, like, sweet and, like, caring.
Holding their... She didn't even know... She mixed up the names of her nephews.
Yeah.
Like, Gino, and she's like... And then... Melissa's like, Joey.
And then, oh, yeah, because we also find out about Danielle Facebooking, sent a Facebook message to Melissa, in the last season, and started drama.
Well, because if you remember in season 2 reunion, she said, why didn't you visit your nephew? Or why didn't you acknowledge your new nephew? Mm-hmm. And then Teresa pushed Andy and said, do not bring up my family. She said, bringed up. And so apparently Melissa was in a little bit in cahoots with Danielle at one point.
Mm-hmm. But it makes sense that it all came back to Facebook.
Yeah.
Literally patient zero.
It is.
Tree then lies about even showing Gia the episode. I love that she would show Gia, like, a 9-year-old. She's like, how about you relive this trauma?
Yeah.
She's like, I didn't show her. And then Caroline goes, yes, you did. We all watched in Chris's basement. Like, we all watched.
And like everyone, like including,
I didn't show up. And it's like,
including Melissa and Joe.
Yeah.
Like, and Kat, like they were the entire, not even, it wasn't just like the original crew, like the new people were there too. Like they all watched together.
We all watched together. Like I love blatantly lying when other eyewitnesses are in the room that could prove that you're lying.
Caroline's looking at the floor as Teresa says, and she goes, that's not true. She goes, we all watched together in Chris's basement. And she goes, and I held Joe Gorga's hand through it because he was crying. Teresa says, I looked over at Joe and I said, you ready for this? I was like, all right. And she goes, and I held his hand. And I was like, his wife is right there.
Yeah, like.
Caroline is a little like.
Mother to all.
Mm-hmm. But like, especially with the men.
Yeah. She loves like babying a man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm the girl.
The thing that she's most mad about in the whole thing is that she can't believe that Joe called her garbage. She's like, thank God my father didn't see that. Would just break his heart. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
It's like the thing you should be least angry about is like being called garbage in the heat of the moment. But it's also classic Tree to be like deflect from anything else that was going on that's like real shit or dynamics that could be addressed and like dug into and get completely fixated on like, you called me garbage.
Like, yeah.
Okay. And?
And? Your husband
Were you literally you not acting like garbage? Because it seems like you were acting pretty garbagey.
Maybe he was upset because his children were brawling.
Yeah.
not because someone said what was true. Walk away, garbage.
Walk away like you always do, garbage. Caroline says that Tree told her one-on-one that she doesn't want to make up with her brother because he's an asshole. And then Tree tries to call Caroline a liar, and Caroline's like, no. She's maybe, like, Caroline doesn't lie. I believe that.
No. That's like, well, maybe about some stuff.
Well, yeah, but like, about this, like, in a one-on-one interaction.
No.
She has no reason to lie.
I love that but that's Teresa claims to be so, like, in love with her brother, but like, she literally called her brother an asshole. Like, that means that she doesn't like him.
Yeah. She hates him. She's also just like, she at one point says, like, if Melissa, what did she say? She was like, if you were a good wife, you would have done XYZ or something. Like, keeps coming for Melissa and like discounting her relationship with Joe, which is also just so weird.
Yeah.
High dysfunction. Then we get like a big long montage of everyone. Like, it's like, look at these idiots from New Jersey where they're all like, use, what do yous want?
Yeah.
Mispronouncing words. Melissa goes, Caroline saved said, a wench like
me. At one point, Caroline goes, says something in envelopes everyone.
It envelopes everyone.
It envelopes us all. I love that.
I love it too.
Ethnic. What does she work ethnic?
Work ethnic. Ingredients is coming.
Ingredients coming.
We do get to relive the Rolex and the Christmas tree, which is a classic moment. I hope that everyone listening to this podcast gets to experience their own Rolex and a Christmas tree.
Coming.
And then we get into On Display, and Andy asks Melissa, like, what her dad would think of On Display, and she goes, I'm doing it, Daddy. I was like, love that.
Also, but then we find out her dad would maybe be disapproving.
Yeah.
She's on. Wait, we also find out her dad ran into a tree, and that's the way he died.
He died like a grisly and unexpected death, which was really tragic. But I'm also like, what happened?
Yeah, what happened there?
There seems to be more to the story that we're missing, but it really upsets Melissa, so we don't need to focus on it.
They also asked Melissa if she's half black at one point.
I love that that was also a question that went completely unanswered. Like, Andy goes, we got a lot of questions, people writing in asking if you're half black. And Melissa goes, you know, I get that a lot. I get that all the time. And then they just move on.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It was strange.
And he goes, how's On Display doing? And she goes, On Display is doing really well.
I love, okay, like, but that's how she taught. When I interviewed her in person, she was like extremely guarded and like kind of cold. Mm-hmm. And all of her answers were very like, we're doing really well. Envy by Melissa Gorga is doing great right now. Like, everything was very rehearsed. Meanwhile, Tree had a translator. Tree literally had a person, I think it was her PR person, but
that spoke for
basically tell her some of the questions I asked, like, she had to explain to Teresa.
I love that.
I asked Teresa, what's a timeless fashion for you? Or a timeless style? And she goes, what do you mean? And she was like, Teresa, like, what's a style that you could wear any day? And she goes, oh, leopard.
I love that. It actually probably benefits Tree to have a translator, because it minimizes the chance of her going full Momo on an unsuspecting victim.
Teresa was lovely to talk to. She was extremely earnest and like very sweet and had some cool stories. I've talked to you about this. And she talked about going to Limelight in the 80s.
Sexy. And like,
I want to know about her life. I want to know that, Teresa.
Yeah. I'm really glad that Tree served her time and has bounced back.
Yeah.
A more humbled person.
Mm-hmm.
Because this could not last.
Yeah.
We find out that Joe Gorga is a real estate developer, and that's why he's so successful. And
Didn't we know?
I don't know. Well, people seem to be confused, but he revamps warehouses into apartment buildings, and then Tree tries to claim that everyone in her family was inspired by her husband's job, and they all found success because they were inspired by Joe Giudice.
She says it to Kathy at one point, and Kathy literally just goes, don't go there.
She goes, no, don't go there. Don't even go there.
She goes, Richie and I had our first real estate in our first year of marriage. Like, Kathy's not significantly, but she's probably like 5 or 6 years older than Teresa.
It's just like, she's not going to put up with this. Tree's probably always been like a crazy off the wall. Like, Tree has like Melania energy, like from the jump. So mm-hmm. I feel like Kathy knows that, and as the older one can just kind of, like, she's not as affected by it as, like, Melissa is. Mm-hmm. But Kathy just, like, shuts stuff down and, like, won't even address it.
Yeah.
And then we get into, Andy tries to ask Teresa about, like, all their legal drama going on and kind of get any sort of clarity. And mm-hmm. it's just, like, completely, like, Tree kind of even pretends like she doesn't even know what's happening. And then part of me is like, does she even know what's happening?
No, I don't think she knows how to, I don't think she knows how to articulate it. Like, yeah. I think there's also so much going on that she can't keep track of what he's talking about.
Yeah, there's probably just like day-to-day developments that are behind like the news cycle even.
Yeah.
She's like, you have to pay back 11 million. She's like, nah, really 11 million. And he's like, well, I'm and she's like, 8 million? And she's like, yeah, about that.
More like 8.
Okay.
Sold.
Still $8 million.
Yeah, so they're choosing to forgo their bankruptcy to pay, and according to Teresa, are working to pay it back, which
is like, good luck with that project.
Good luck to
also,
you.
Also, it's revealed that were they to move forward with bankruptcy and get found and denied for bankruptcy, they could be charged with bankruptcy fraud.
Yeah.
I love her being like, fraud? No. No.
Yeah.
No fraud. They're literally the most fraudulent people that have ever existed on a reality show.
Fraud Judices.
Yeah. They're fraught with fraud.
Fraud.
Joe even got arrested. Andy brings up that Joe was recently arrested for fraudulently obtaining a driver's license.
I think that's all part of his deportation.
So he's making all these deals and using like fraudulent identity, like,
yeah, because he's not an American citizen. I don't even think he had a green card.
What an idiot.
Yeah, it's really wild, like, that he was able to even be here that long with all the shit he was doing.
He operated for a really long time in America.
Yeah. With no driver. I think he drove a car. He drove cars with fake licenses, I think.
But how do you fake a social security number?
Because, Laura.
Well, the money is like going into like laundering stuff, I'm sure. Yeah.
I think he was, I'm not trying to be know-it-all. That sounded like know-it-all, but
I didn't take it that way.
I'm just saying, tongue in cheek.
But
I really believe that it's, I feel that he had some protection. That's what I think. And then at a certain point, you can't protect someone who's that stupid.
Yeah.
So they were just good luck.
They didn't take anyone down with them, did they? They tried to.
That's why his business. That's why Monica Chacon's client was suing him, because his business partner sued Joe Giudice because he forged his business partner's signature on something. So they didn't try and rat anyone out. Oh, no. But I mean, just that. In terms of like potentially. Oh, no. I don't think Teresa rats.
Because like, I'm sure that if they're trying to get to Joe and being like, how the fuck did you like operate this long with like fake social security numbers and like fake driver's license? Like, who is giving you the money? Like, where's this money coming from? Like, trying to tie it back to somewhere else and being like, we can save you from potentially being deported if you're to like tell us this information.
I'm just conjecturing.
And I'm like, hey, he didn't rat. Good on him. Honestly. You have to have respect for that.
And then I feel like if you go back to Italy and you don't rat, then like you're even more celebrated.
Oh yeah. When you have done time, I'm basing this solely on just watching Sopranos.
Yeah, me too.
But like if you've done jail time and then you get out on the other side and you're not a rat, you're literally like a hero.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, they pour you a big glass of wine. Hey,
just walk into a random home and there's a pot of spaghetti waiting for you.
Yeah. And a huge glass of wine. There's a feast everywhere you go for the rest of your life. And you're welcomed with open arms with just big guys going, hey.
Literally milk glasses, full size wine glasses.
Yeah. Goblets.
A milk pour of wine.
Mm-hmm.
And then Caroline and Teresa start. Caroline starts questioning about all like the stuff that Teresa's lying about in terms of their like legal problems. And at one point she's like, and Teresa's like, why are you prying? She's like, you're prying. She goes, I don't pry about the brownstone.
And oh, I was like, yeah.
Oh. I went, oh.
That was good. That shut Caroline up pretty good. But also I think Caroline just knows how to tie up those loose ends a lot better than the Giudices do. And then at one point, she's looking down like at the ground while Tree is talking, being like, And Andy goes, you look quizzical right now. And Caroline goes, I'm quizzical.
I am quizzical.
And then she comes through Tree and Tree goes, I'm calm and cool like a whistle. It's like, what?
I think Kathy says like a whistle.
Yeah, everyone's like, excuse me. And then Caroline, she's like,
My own advice was to get you out of my life 2 years ago. I'm finally listening to that. I was like, damn. 2 years have gone by with Caroline being like, I don't like this lady.
Yeah. Caroline having to fake it.
Mm-hmm. Fake it until she gets like a migraine from hell.
It's Teresa's exhausting. And then we're going to find out that Teresa is a lot of the reason why Dina and Caroline don't speak.
Ooh.
She throws the Dina in front of Caroline, which sets Caroline off, as I remember.
Okay, I forgot about that. Ugh, such a twisted web of dysfunction.
Because Dina and Caroline still don't speak, and Dina is still very close with Teresa.
Wow.
Well, I think specifically because she's the godmother of Adriana, but she's very supportive of Teresa still. She comments on like her pictures of her daughters. Dina and Lexi don't follow any of the Manzos.
Wow.
Or vice versa. So.
Generations of beef.
Beef.
You know, Manzo means beef in Italian, so.
I know. Beef.
Sono italiano al 100%.
Sono italiano al 100%.
Suspiria.
Well.
Madame Blanc.
Madame Blanc. Marcos.
Did you see that Suspiria meme of Normani auditioning? That was so good.
First of all, her dance was so amazing in that moment. But second of all, that was just the perfect meme.
We needed it. We love to see it.
We stand Normani.
Love to live it. Well, one more episode.
Stay tuned. Our TSB journey is ending.
TSB is coming to an end.
Gotta be quite honest with you. It's coming to an end. Stay safe.
A new journey will arise. Out of the ashes.
Out of the ashes.
But it's not over yet. Stay tuned. Follow Carrie. And Icaro.
And follow Laura at Lars Marie.
And if you want to be a patron of the podcast, you're more than welcome to be. You can go to patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. There's bonus episodes, tons of content. And that's that.
Do it up. Bye.
Bye.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement. Unlike any others on the market, go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And
it's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.